This is a National Museum of Australia recording. For more information, visit nma.gov.au/audio.
I'm Akira Tatehata, the director of National Museum of Art Osaka. I'm one of the curators of MS show in Japan with Dr. Margonier. Congratulations on the opening of Emily Kame Ungwale exhibition in Canberra. As you know, this exhibition was held in Tokyo and Osaka. It proved to be a great success, and the number of visitors totaled around 140,000. This was the best attended solo show of contemporary art in Japan. Even more people saw this show than the Andy Warhol exhibition about 10 years ago. Now I must express our deepest gratitude to Dr. Craddock Morton, the director of Canberra Museum, and Dr. Margonier, the chief curator of our project, and the rest of the staff. And also, I must say thanks a lot to Australian Ambassador Maria McLean and his staff. I'm sorry to say that I couldn't attend the opening in Australia because we have our opening on the same day in Japan. So I would like to participate in your opening with this video presentation. I would like to speak about some aspects of Emily's work from outside of the Aboriginal cultural spheres, especially by comparing her painting with great post-war masters like Jackson Pollock, Bryce Madden, and Yayoi Kusama. Of course, Emily knew nothing about their method. For me, it seemed like a miracle that these artists have so much in common. But now I would like to analyze these common aspects in a somewhat humoristic way. At first, I would like to talk about Emily's most representative work, named Big Yam Dreaming. This is a Big Yam Dreaming. Thick curved stripes cover the canvas. The density of the stripes isn't uniform. In some places, they are arranged in a closed parallel structure, while in others, one catches sight of the black ground through the large mesh. The visual effect of this different density is to fill the entire canvas with a sense of vibration that is both energetic and extremely elegant. Yet the stripes are not simply a layer. The dense part of the canvas rises out of the painting, while the rough area appear to recede somewhat into the rear. It is as if the mesh is wafting above the black ground like a thick illusion. In tracing the trajectory of each of the stripes, it is important to note that none of them were painted in a single stroke. Rather than running the brush across the canvas in a burst of energy, Emily stopped several times in the middle and added paint to extend the stripes. So, although the mesh does indeed cover the canvas, the effect is different from the smooth and speedy lines in Pollock's drip or pouring paintings. The yam featured in title is Emily's Dreaming, as you know. The yam rhizome, spreading outward like a net, is a symbol of life and a symbol of the earth. Using both arms, Emily was able to complete this overly large canvas in a period of 2 days. But this was all the more possible for the clear-cut vision she had of her dreaming. Amy always seems to have created her work spontaneously on site, which is not to say, however, that she left anything to chance. I'm very tempted to suggest that to Emily, her dreaming functioned as a rich source of imagery in a way of dissimilar to the world of sleep, which served as a subconscious domain of exploration for modernist painter who had fallen under the influence of Freudian psychology. Although I cannot cite any concrete references, it is also interesting to note the connections between the concept of the dreaming and the Jungian notion of the collective unconscious and archetype. In the world view of the dreaming, this is a strong identification between reality and mythology, and spirits and things associated with the land on which one lives, and tribal rules regarding these things are extremely strict. But in time of the element vision that guided the hand of the artist, the works of the modernist painter and that of Emily may not be so very far apart. This is a very famous and representative works of Jackson Pollock's painting based on the technique of pouring and dripping. The title is number 1A. The lines of this painting spread all over the canvas, but the density of line is different depending on the part of the canvas. It's just same structure of Emily's stripe painting. And this sort of difference creates a sense of elegant vibration, and also it creates a sense of the three-dimensional illusion. So the two great masters' method is quite near. It's very interesting for me. This is Big Yam. It's also the represented work of Emily. Big Yam is a large work painted in a variety of warm, brilliant color with a white ochre brown stripes on a black ground. With the introduction of color, the layer of stripes naturally become more complex and the depth of the space is greatly increased. Of particular interest is Emily's complex method of overlapping the layer and the amazingly complicated looks of work's structure. For instance, in one place a yellow stripe might cross a brown stripe, but in other spot the opposite might be true, as four or five color of stripes shift up and down around the canvas. Moreover, the positioning of the white space, which should be rearmost layer, create an antagonism between the psychological depth of the color and the way the layers have been ordered. Once again, one cannot help but be reminded of Pollock's space. Pollock also used five or six colors to create a net of invisible layers of poured and dripped line that crisscrossed as they shifted up and down all over the canvas. Like Big Yam Dreaming, the stripes here have been extended by adding paint in the middle, but in many instances, a different color have been used. A repeated curving stripes might go from white to ochre or brown to light purple, as the color moved up and down. As one of the characteristics of Emi's artistic expressions, this method of achieving a complex effect with a simple principle makes the detail in her work come beautifully to life. This is a painting by Bryce Madden, American painter. Title is Chinese Dancing. The lines themselves are far more loose compared to Emily's, but the structure of the space is just the same as Emily's stripe painting. For example, in this painting, the yellow line overlaps the brown line, but some other part quite reversed. Brown line overlaps the yellow line. This complicated structure creates a sense of depth of space. It's just the same Emily's Big Yam painting structure. Next, I would like to refer to the dot method of Emily's painting. This is a typical dot painting by her named Kame Sama Awere. Maybe this painting represents the special season of her homeland, her desert area. It looks like seeds, vegetable, plants, and so on. Anyway, the numerous number of the dots spread all over the canvas, but also the density of dots different, depend on the part of the canvas. Some parts dots are concentrated closely, but other parts dots are more or less sparse. This nuance, effect of the nuance, creates the beautiful and also sensual vibration, at least for me. I would like to compare the Emily's dot painting to Kusama Yayoi's net and dot painting. This is Kusama's typical net dot painting titled Pacific Ocean. Maybe it represents images of waves on the sea. Anyway, the density of the net and dot are different, depend on the canvas. Some parts, the net and dot are concentrated more closely, and other parts, the net and dot are somewhat loose. And this sort of difference related to the feeling of waving, moving, and vibration. I think both of them, Emily and Kusama, knew very well about how to create a sense of oscillation and a sense of the depth of the space. Just as Emily's work looks purely like abstract painting, while actually being a depiction of concrete vision based on the dreaming, Kusama's net painting a rendering of a distinct vision that can be traced to the artist's origins as a visionary. She wrote about her childhood memory being assailed by hallucination like this. One day, looking at a red flower patterned tablecloth, I turned my eye to the ceiling and saw the same red flower pattern everywhere, even on the window glass and posts. The room, my body, the entire universe was filled with it. Myself was eliminated, and I had returned and been reduced to the infinity of eternal time and the absolute space. This was not an illusion, but reality, she wrote. In this way, in an attempt to pacify her fear-stricken mind, Kusama began creating the net painting, which are marked by her obsessional need to propagate the images. Another reason that her works, which are basically extremely monotonous, wield such a devastating impact lies in the intensity of the vision that she proclaims is not an illusion, but reality. Despite the fact that Kusama's perspective stems from a pathological mentality that is the opposite of Emily, there is a deep link between them. For her part, Emily also offers the following explanation of her dot-covered paintings. Whole lot. That's whole lot. That's whole I paint. Whole lot. If one assumed that hallucination was the point of departure of Kusama's work as a painter, the dreaming on which Emily's brush was so dependent seemed to serve a similar function. If Kusama's vision is at once an unmistakably realistic scene attached to a cosmic sense of eternal time and infinite space, Emily unites the real and spirit worlds by linking concrete things in her surroundings with a creation myth. The fact that the two artists share the net dot painting method is by no means a coincidence. As in both cases, this intense form of repetition thrives as a great rhythm with which fuse the microscopic units with a universal sense of time and space. Emily's station as a painter was quite isolated from the West and the outside world. Even so, we must admit the great similarities between Emily and post-war master painters. It seemed like a miracle for me. That's why I can't avoid thinking of Emily as an impossible modernist. Thank you.
As you can see, it's very brave of Tarahara's son to do that, because he's talking about really complex things. And I know, you know, when I think of me having to speak in Japanese, you know, I think he's extraordinarily good. So clearly there's a lot of stuff there that some people will and will not have picked up because of the accent. I think Hitomi is it's correct that there is a printout of this, a printed... Yeah. I think it was very useful having those images, you know, with the Jackson Pollock and Yayoi Kusama, Bryce Madden. That certainly, if you couldn't pick up the words, at least you could see the kind of comparisons he was making. And that's one of the advantages of taking a work like this to Japan or any other country, because it brings up a whole lot of other comparative material that you could not or would not otherwise bring up. So we can hear in discussion later sort of which bits of that people were able to get. But I think the thing with Yayoi Kusama, where she doesn't distinguish between myth and reality, is a point he was trying to make with Emily, in that she doesn't distinguish between the dreaming and what others might call reality, that they are in fact all reality, and is making that connection between Kusama and Emily, and the connection also that the idea of using a sense of netting or webbing or dotting across a surface. So whilst he could examine it on that structural level, he was also offering us a explanation on a more, I think he called, another level beyond it, where the myth and reality became one, thus the power of the work. Anyway, so I'm sure for those who want to sort of have another listen or another look at the script for that, it'd be worthwhile because it's a very fresh and fresh insight into it and the whole concept of the impossible modernist.
The National Museum of Australia in Canberra explores what it means to be Australian through our permanent galleries, exhibitions, public programs, and the National Historical Collection. Find out more about the museum at nma.gov.au or download more audio programs from nma.gov.au/audio.